Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome, and thank you for listening in tonight. My name is Linda Mooney. This is Other Worlds of Romance on Blog Talk Radio. And tonight I am reading from my brand new release called Under Silver. It is a sensuous romance, sci-fi romance. And if you'd like to call in and talk to me after I get through reading the excerpt, please call in. The number is 646-727-2932. Or you can come into the chat room and listen there. And if you have a question, just drop the question in. I'd be more than happy to answer it. Or if you're sitting there and listening on the web, you can email me your question, linda@lindamooney.com. Then I will pick at the end of the, after I get through reading the excerpt, I will pick a winner who will win a copy of Under Silver in the format that you prefer. The Under Silver is a standalone. It is not a series. And at this time, I learned a long time ago, you never say never, because there were a couple of books that I never thought would have a sequel to them. And lo and behold, they're getting a sequel. So one of them is The Gifting, which is the sequel to The Gifted. So it'd be Stargirl Book 2. So that one's going to be coming down the pipe pretty soon. And when they say, well, is this a series? No, at the time I don't, but you never know. Another couple of years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years down the line, I may say, hey, I got an idea for a second book. So you never know. But right now it's a standalone. And let me read to you the logo of the blurb for Under Silver. The planet had secrets it never revealed until it was too late. Centuries ago, mankind's only hope for survival were the seven vessels specifically fitted to send the last survivors of Earth to a planet named New Earth. Seven spaceships that became floating cities once they landed on the water-only world, teeming with edible seafood, as well as dangerous creatures. Lieutenant Jace Novick of the ship Under Platinum is sent to sister ship Under Silver to see if he can help find a possible solution to their growing problem. Food is beginning to run low, catches are scarcer, and the tension between ships is increasing as starvation becomes imminent. Lieutenant Commander Roan Durth has created a security device called Rat Shield to protect Silver from repeated attacks by the planet's hostile monsters. But it seems the shields are also keeping the fish away as well. Jace believes he has an answer, but it means he and Roan must work together despite Roan's antagonism toward him and the short time he's been allotted before he must return to his own ship. Together, they try to discover a way to survive as the other vessels turn on each other in desperate battle for the last of the dwindling food supply, not knowing that another, more malevolent being is watching them from the depths. Warning contains loss of oxygen, vicious sea creatures, massive destruction, scientific theories, near drowning, subsonic bursts, questionable seafood, alien artifacts, and two people trying to survive what could be the complete annihilation of their species. All right, I am going to begin at chapter 11. Now, Jason Roan have survived an attack on Undersilver. So this takes place afterwards. Okay, here we go. After a good night's sleep. Although men and came and went from the bunk room during all hours, he was accustomed to that routine and managed to get some decent shut-eye in spite of it. Slinging the satchel containing the responder over his shoulder, he took in breakfast in the cafeteria, which was back up and running. The pancakes were quickly scarfed down, as were the soy sausage patties. Taking his mug of coffee with him, he next visited the gym clinic to see how Roan was doing. "I'm sorry, sir, but she was discharged 20 minutes ago," the tech informed him. "Discharged? Back to duty?" "I have no idea, sir. That's confidential information." Jace pursed his lips together. "May I see her attending physician?" "I'll see if Dr. Van Todd is available. Hold on." Less than 5 minutes later, the doctor he'd talked to the day before entered the foyer where a makeshift reception desk had been set up. As soon as he spotted Jace, he walked over to him. "Lieutenant, is there something wrong?" "No, sir. I came to see how the commander was faring and was told she'd been discharged." "Do you know if she's returned to duty?" The doctor quickly shook his head. "She was ordered more bed rest for another 24 hours. Pointing to Jace's wrapped arm, he added, "How's that holding up for you?" "Awkward, mostly." "Any pain?" "No, sir." "Here, let me look at it." He unwrapped the arm and carefully examined the shoulder. "You have some swelling, but that should subside. You were lucky you didn't lose the arm altogether." Memory of the sea dragon rose in his mind with a vengeance and more than a fragment of fear. Shaking his head to dispel the vision, Jace laughed softly. "I am. I'm not going to rewrap it, but take care with it. No heavy lifting for at least another day or two. Give those torn muscles we reattached a chance to heal." The doctor turned to the guard. "Have a nurse bring me a half dozen of the biomeprene." The guard nodded and left the desk. Van Todd looked again at Jace. "Take one every morning. They'll help with the healing and pain." "But the commander will be okay?" Jace insisted. Knowing Roan had been discharged made him feel better about her condition, but it didn't mean she was completely out of danger. The doctor gave him a consoling smile. "Other than a residual headache and maybe a little dizziness, she should recover quickly." The guard was back with a nurse who handed the physician a small plastic container bearing a medicinal label. Van Todd gave it to Jace. "Here you go. Let me know if you have any after effects. And when you see the commander, notify me if she exhibits any symptoms I need to be aware of other than what I've already mentioned."
"I will, sir. Thanks."
As he left the gym, he swallowed one capsule with his coffee, then tucked the rest in his pants pocket. Since Roan had been ordered bed rest for the day, that meant he'd need to work on calibrating the responder by himself, unless there was someone who'd aided her in them. He returned to the bunk room to retrieve the responder, then headed for the nearest escalator down. The people of Undersilver had done a tremendous amount of work overnight, clearing out almost all of the debris and restoring the main concourse almost to its original condition. Taking the steps, he went down to the next level and snagged the first uniform that passed by.
"Excuse me, Ensign, which way to the labs?"
The woman gave him a confused look. "Labs? Which ones?"
"Which ones?" "The one Commander Durth used to work on the rap shields."
The ensign brightened. "Oh, those are on level 6. Just take the escalator down 2 more levels. The labs are on the aft port side." He thanked her and continued down the steps, feeling almost lightheaded in the wake of all that had happened. In all his 8 years in the service, that was the closest he'd ever been to death, and he'd survived. What's more, the woman he couldn't stop thinking about also survived, and there was the chance he'd get to see her at least one more time before he had to leave. In the meantime,
He'd do all he could to align the two defensive mechanisms, using her notes to help him with the rat shield's schematics. He paused. There was the good possibility that he'd spend these last 2 days without ever seeing her again, or that she'd relapse and have to be readmitted into the hospital. There were any number of scenarios running through his mind, all of which were neither promising nor encouraging. Jay swallowed the disappointment welling inside his chest. If it was meant to be, I'll see her again. At some point, hopefully. But if it isn't... A stark gray wall with a single door loomed in front of him. A single word had been stenciled at eye level. Labs. Turning the lever, he opened the door and stepped inside. The place was filled with banks of equipment. The walls were lined with crowded shelves, stuffed to capacity with boxes and bins. A narrow walkway led him to the rear of the room, where it divided into four alcoves. Two of the rooms were occupied. The people inside had gear and materials scattered on top of tables. Jace paused in the first doorway and waved for someone's attention. "Excuse me?" A woman glanced up and took in his one other fresh uniform he'd donned that morning. When her eyes lifted back to his face, he flashed her his bars. She didn't raise a hand to salute him, which told him she wasn't military. Instead, she raised an eyebrow. "Can I help you, Lieutenant?" "I hope so. I'd like to know where I can gain access to Lieutenant Commander Durst's notes on the rap shields." Her eyes narrowed. "And you are?" "Lieutenant Jace Novick of the Under Platinum." Her expression of distrust melted away and was replaced with a smile. "Novick, the Admiral notified us that you were coming down here." She motioned for him to follow her and led him to the last room. When they entered, his gaze riveted on the paraphernalia laid out on the platform in the middle of the room. The woman held out her arm in welcome. "That's all of it, including her prototypes. Of course, the actual shields that were built in engineering are in use around the ship." He chuckled, "Of course." She pointed to the small portable unit on the table. "You can access all her files on the computer." "Thank you for setting this all up for me." "I'll be working in room A if you need anything." He thanked her, and she left him alone. Jace set the responder down on the nearest counter, slowly walked around the table, examining the various mock-ups. What fascinated him more were the early models. Through them, he could see her progression from the first prototype to the last. "My God, what brilliant work," he muttered. "Thank you. It definitely is that, if I do say so myself." He whirled around to see Roan standing in the doorway with a grin on her face. She wore a pair of brown slouch pants and a plain yellow pullover t-shirt, which told him she either wasn't on the clock or this was meant to be a non-official visit. A glowing blue bandage pulsated on her temple. His impulse was to go over to her and pull her into his embrace, but judging from her body posture, that damn invisible wall was back, keeping them separated. She casually walked over to join him at the table. "Dad told me he spoke to you this morning, that then sent you down here to get to work." She avoided making eye contact with him, and Jace wondered why. He soon got his answer when she strolled around to the opposite side and finally looked up, facing him. "I owe you my life, Lieutenant. Frankly, I don't think I'll ever be able to repay you." "You owe me nothing. I'm sure you'd do the same for me if the situations were reversed." Rome softly snorted. "I doubt it." At his shocked expression, she smiled. "What I meant was, I wouldn't have the strength to do what you'd done. You'd be surprised at what you can do when the adrenaline kicks in." She made a vague gesture at his arm. "How's the shoulder?" "I grilled Dr. Van Todd about your injuries. He's the one who told me about it." Jace gingerly touched his wounded arm. "I'll be fine. I just have to stay off the horizontal bars until it's healed, he jested. Taking a deep breath, he picked up what he assumed was the final example of the wrap shield. All right, we need to get started. Are you here to work, or did you come down here to check up on me? Nobody messes with my shields without my knowledge or me being here, Lieutenant, she answered stonily. Fine, but are you up to it? I thought the doctor gave orders for you to get more bed rest. At her questioning expression, he added, you're not the only one who grilled the doc. Rather than give him a direct answer, she opened the computer and pulled up the schematics. We're on a time clock here, Lieutenant. Why don't you open your little black box and let me look inside to see how it ticks? He walked over, picked up the responder, and took it over to where she sat on a tall stool. Setting it on the table, he paused. Listen, I'd like to set a few ground rules before we get started. She gave him a curious glare. This is my ship, Lieutenant. My ship, my shields, my rules. He ignored that remark. My first rule is that you call me Jace, or Novik. None of this Lieutenant crap. Yes, I know that technically you outrank me, but at this moment I feel we're both equals, which means we need a more comfortable working relationship. She thought about his suggestion. And what do you plan to call me, Lieutenant? Roan, or Dearth, if you prefer. How about Commander? Her tone riled him. In fact, her whole attitude was beginning to piss him off. Again. To top it off, she hadn't even had the grace to thank him for what he'd done. He clenched his jaws and focused on the responder. So much for the comfortable working relationship, she drolly remarked. Such as it is, he caustically replied. Hey, don't get all huffy with me. If it wasn't for you and your little wave gizmo, we wouldn't be in this mess. Jace saw red. Whirling around, he shot her an angry look. Hey, I'm not the one who forgot to have the shields turned back on. I repeat, if it wasn't for you needing to show off your little invention, the shields wouldn't have been shut down in the first place. She remained cool, giving him the impression the entire incident had been his fault. Jace gasped. What is it with you? Why all the antagonism? Is it because you're afraid your precious shields won't be considered good enough anymore? In case you've forgotten, I was sent here by my governor. Your governor made the arrangements, not me. I had no intention of sharing my invention with you. I'm here because I was ordered to come here, same way you were ordered to work with me. Rather than continue facing him, she turned around, basically dismissing him, and appeared to redirect her attention to the computer. Jace refused to let it go. So what's your excuse? Is it because I'm from Platinum? Is that it? Ship envy? Your ship has no bearing on this, she coldly replied. Have you got that thing open yet? Or do I need to get a crowbar to pry the outer panels off? He froze as another thought occurred to him. You're afraid your shields are going to be found inferior without the responder. She was out of her seat and on her feet in a flash. My shields were doing a perfect job of keeping Undersilver safe before you showed up. If you want my honest opinion, I don't see how using your little in-house radio is going to enhance... A flash of pain crossed her face. Roan lifted a hand toward her head, her eyes unfocused. When her knees gave way and she started to fall, Jace grabbed her and pulled her against him to prevent her from collapsing. Roan, are you all right? Here, sit down. He started to press her back onto the stool when she grasped his shirt sleeve and looked up at him. Her face was inches away, close enough to where she could see his reflection in those unique blue eyes. close enough to smell the slightly floral scent of her soap or perfume, close enough to feel the heat emanating from her body. She continued to stare at him. Her countenance was unreadable. He glanced at her dark pink lips, and the need to kiss them became overwhelming. "What have you got to lose?" a little voice whispered in his ear. "Hell with it," he practically growled, and lowered his mouth over hers. All right, that is my excerpt from Undersilver. And I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 people who have contacted me to say they were interested in a copy. Okay, thank you. Any questions? No. Okay, they all want in on it. Okay, so what I'll give you is another minute before I make my decision. Next week, my guest will be Amsden, and she's a return author, so don't forget to tune in again on the 20th. Then I'll have Christine. I am currently working on, if you're wanting to know, bring you a little up to date, I'm currently working on Runner's Moon Yarolem. And Runner's Moon Yarolem is book 5 in the Runner's Moon series, and it is Liam's story. And hopefully, it'll be out probably around the end of August, around the 1st of September, if things go right. So, all right, here we go. Do a little checking out here and throw these names in the hat. And let's see who we have picked out. And we have okay, KCR3, you are my winner. Congratulations. I'm going to be emailing you and find out what format you like. Undersilver is available in as lit, HTML, EPUB, MOBI, and PDF. So you'll be able to take your pick of that one. So thank you for listening in tonight. Thank you for entering, those of you who entered. And congratulations to my winner. And I will be looking forward to having you back again next week. My name is Linda Mooney. This is Other Worlds of Romance. Thanks again for listening in. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you again. Good night, everybody. Bye-bye.